my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted in thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raven and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast hurt me from the horns of the unicorn. You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Book of Psalm, chapter 22, verse 1, down through verse number 21. When I started pastoring in 1965, I do not recall any of the preachers that I heard preach ever asked anybody to stand when they read the Bible. A few years after that, 4 or 5 years after I began pastoring, I noticed preachers were asking people to stand when they read the scriptures. I suppose Brother Mays Jackson was the first man that I ever heard ask people to stand while he read a portion of the Word of God before he preached. I noticed lately that just about everybody asks people to stand, the preachers, when they read the Bible. Well, I've not been one that followed that trend. The only time I ask people to stand is when they've been seated a long time, or when I'm reading Psalms chapter number 22. There's no chapter in the Bible that moves my heart any more than Psalms chapter number 22. I would that I had the ability to understand and to explain this great chapter, Psalms chapter number 22. I feel when we enter into Psalm 22 that we ought to pull off our shoes, that indeed we're walking on holy ground. It's a chapter that humbles my heart like no other chapter in the Bible. I don't know the number of times and the number of times I've read Psalms chapter number 22, but there's something that speaks to me when I read these verses about this man in Psalms chapter number 22. I doubt very seriously that the earthly writer of Psalm 22 knew who he was writing about when he wrote and penned Psalm chapter number 22. I doubt today we would have known either had not Christ spoken some of these words when he was hanging on the cross dying that afternoon. When he uttered that phrase, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know then that the writer here was writing about none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the darling Son of God. And I'll point out five things, if you have your pencil and piece of paper, speaking from the subject, Psalms 22, a picture of dark Calvary. Write down my text if you care to. Psalm chapter number 22, a picture of dark Calvary. Number one, I want you to notice the departure of God the Father from his Son. Write that down, number one. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Never before, never ever, one second before, had God the Father and God the Son ever been separated. But there was something happened on that cross that afternoon that brought a separation between God and his Son. Perhaps it lasted 3 hours. I believe this was uttered about midday when Christ was hanging there dying. My God, he said, why hast thou forsaken me? Notice those five words with me in verse number one. He said, why? Dear God, why? At my most needed time of you, Lord, why now, Lord? Why now? Why would you leave me right now here hanging all by myself alone? The second word is, why hast? That meant he'd already departed. When Jesus said that, he said, why has God had already left him hanging there? Never, 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 ever before previously had there ever been a division between God the Father and God the Son. But on that cross that day there were, why has thou, of all the people, Jesus said, that has forsaken me? I expected Judas to sell me. I expected the disciples to flee and leave me. But oh God, I never expected you to leave me here. Why hast thou, of all the people that have left me, why would it be you in my darkest hour of need that thou wouldest? What's the next phrase? Why hast thou, what's the word, forsaken me? He said, I can, I endured the chastening. I put up with the spitting upon me, and I grumbled on. But, oh God, when you walked away from me, I could not believe you would forsake me at this moment of time. Why hast thou done what? Forsaken me. If you'd have chased me, I could have took it. If you let him spit on me, I said nothing. You let him beat me, I said nothing. But Lord, when you walked away and forsook me, I couldn't help it. I cried out and said, oh God, why hast thou forsaken? The next word is a little word, me, of all the people. I, your only begotten Son, I'm the one. If you read in verse 8 and verse 9 of this chapter, you will find where he said, Lord, why, you're the one that put your hands up in my mother's womb and delivered me. You're the one that laid me on my mother's breast and let me nurse. And when I had nursed, I was cast on you from my birth. Why hast thou forsaken me, thine only begotten Son? You walked away in my hour. Me, Lord, me, your Son. You walked away and left me. Could I just stop and say, whoa, what a Savior that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. He was forsaken, but thank God he'll never forsake us, his children. What a blessed thought that is. So we see the departure of God the Father from God the Son. Beloved, we notice here while he's on the cross, he said, I pray, I make my prayers, I roar. Notice in verse 1, He said, why are they so far from helping me and from the sad words of my roaring? He said, here I am roaring in the daytime. In verse number 2, he'll find that he's roaring in the nighttime also. But God is not hearing. God is not answering. God is not listening. God has paid his son no attention at all. As he's there that afternoon on that cross, he's dying for you, and he's dying for me, beloved. But God walked away and left him in that hour when all the hell was turned against him. Beloved, you know what he said? He said, our fathers cried, and you heard them. Our fathers cried, and you delivered them. But you won't answer me, Lord. You won't help me at all. None whatsoever will you help me. Why hast thou forsaken me? In my darkest hour, when I needed you the most, you walked away from me. Here we see the Lord saying something that is amazing to me. Yet he said, in all of this, when you walked away like you have in all of this, he said, Lord, I want you to know you're still holy. He saw, beloved, that God was still God. And look at verse number 3, but thou art holy. I tell you, in that dark, deepest hour of the Son of God suffering, he could stop and say, Lord, even though you've left me, what you're doing is right, and you're holy. Oh, God, thou art holy in that darkest hour. So we see the departure of the Father from his Son. We'll hit the highlights. Number 2. Look down in verse number 6. Secondly, we notice the depths which the Son of God became. Write that down, number 2. The depths of which the Son of God came. Look down in verse number 6. He said, I'm not even a man. I am nothing but a worm. Well, I don't have the best education in the world, but I have several books. God has blessed me through the years to have been able to get a hold of some good books. I have several Brother John Phillips books. I have several Brother John Butler's books. And I have all the books that Dr. Ivor Powell printed. All of them. When he died, he said, Brother Virgil, you're the one that introduced me to the Atlanta area. And Brother Ivor Powell preached all over the Atlanta area because I brought him in to preach. And when he died, I called his house. We sent him a little Christmas gift every year, my wife and I did, to he and his wife out there in Santa Barbara, California. He'd always send me back a little letter and say, thank you. I'd just give him enough to take his wife out to lunch. But a few weeks went by, turned into a month. I heard nothing. I picked up my phone and called. Miss Powell answered the phone, and I said, could I speak to Brother Ivor? She said, Brother Barnard, you'll have to call heaven. The Lord has taken Brother Ivor away. But she said to me, she said, I want you to send me a copy of all Ivor's books that you've got, and I'm going to send you some perhaps that you don't have. I said, I can't do that. I told my wife, I said, not without paying. No, not without paying. My wife said, you ought to do it. I sat down and wrote a list of all the books I had of Brother Ivor Powell, the man from Wales. What a writer. A few weeks came by, and here come a box full of books. She said, now you have a copy of every book that Ivor Powell has got wrote. My, I was honored. But I don't know if I've been able to get a hold of some good books through the years. But I didn't understand that when he said, I am just a little worm. Looked at all them commentaries, it wasn't no help. So one day, I got out the Greek or the Hebrew and looked up that little word, worm. It said it's just a little old grub, little bitty grub, that they grew by the hundreds all around Jerusalem. And when people walk down the streets, they step on one. And the only way you know they'd been one there, they'd always be a little crimson spot. Woo! Always be a little crimson spot. Jesus said on that cross of Calvary, he said, I'll tell you, I'm nothing but a worm. But I see at the bottom where that worm had been stomped, I see a picture of the blood of the Son of God that would be shed for me, that I could be saved and have my sins blotted out. Well, he said, look how down he got, as far down, my friend, as a little grub worm. Why? He went down to the bottom that he might rescue those. Now, you that know me, which few of you know me, I'm a deaf man. I'm 98% deaf. Without this thing, I don't hear anything. I would give anything to have heard this bald-headed man speak, but I got nothing. On the way home, my wife will tell me something that this dear brother said. But oh, I understand about him going way down where you were on the bottom. If I heard right, you said 22 years, something. Nobody ever told you about Christ. You're down yonder. But I don't know how you got out from down there, but somebody come by, I suppose, with a track, with a message, and lifted this bald-headed man up with a funny suit on that he's got like I've never seen before, and lifted him up. Beloved, that's my Savior. He went down, down, down. You couldn't get no lower than he was, my friend. And the reason he went down there, that's where all of us sinners were. Down, down, down. Thank God he went down that he might, what? Bring us out. Lift us up, thank God. Bring us out of the miry clay, Paul. Psalms wrote about. Number 3, not only we see the departure of the Father from the Son, secondly, we see the depth to which the Son of God came. Thirdly, in verse 7, verse 8, we notice the delights of the enemy. Verse number 7, all they that see me, there he was now, he's on the cross. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. Understand that little word, shoot out the lip, meant they stuck their tongue out at him as he's hanging on the cross that afternoon. They shake their head saying, well, he trusted in God. Let him keep on trusting and see if God would deliver him now. I'll tell you, neighbor, God could have. I want to tell you, neighbor, God could have. I tell you, he had the whole back 12 legions of it that was ready to come and deliver him. But he came, my friend, not to die at the scourging post. He came to die at the cross so you could be saved, so I could be saved. Woo! What a Savior! What a Savior! What a Savior! I am so glad that I'm in the family of God. Yes, they came by and wagged their heads and stuck out their tongue, ridiculed him, mocked him, made fun of him. God was able, but God come to let him die. Number 4. Now, fourthly, I want you to notice the demonic attack from hell against Christ. Verse 16. He said in verse 16, the middle phrase, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. The demonic attack from hell I want to tell you, beloved, that I believe every demon that possibly could get loose that day came to Calvary where God's Son was dying at and enclosed him about every demon that could possibly. And don't tell me there's not no demons. This world is filled up with demons. If we could just see up above here, they're there. If you get a prayer through Brother Moderator to God, you've got to go through demon territory. He's up there. They're up there, and they're battling, they're fighting. And we're in a war like I've never seen. We're in a war. He said the demons of assembled around me. Verse 12, he likened them unto the bulls of Bashan. I understand the bulls of Bashan was great big old bulls with big old long horns. And when they come against their enemy, that they surround him. And they take their horns and gore that enemy and then stomp that enemy to death. Jesus said, the bulls of Bashan have come against me. They surrounded him there that afternoon, that cross. He likened those demons unto the bulls of Bashan. Secondly, he likened them demons unto lions. Verse number 13. He said their mouth, their gaped open, ready to devour the helpless prey that he had become hanging on the cross. He likened them dogs in verse number 16 and verse number 20. These were wild dogs that ran in pack. All they did was bark and bite, bark and bite. Now look at him, look at him. Here he is. Here's all the bulls of Bashan around him. My friend, here's the lions with their mouths open, ready to devour him. And here's these dogs barking and biting. He likened, and ain't nothing but a bunch of demons against him. They're trying to stop him. They're trying to stop him from shedding his blood. So he said, the demons have come against me. Fifthly, and I'm done. We notice number 5, the degrading of his body. Follow me. In 6 hours, his body had deteriorated until Isaiah 52 said his vision, his appearance was more marred than any other man. He didn't even look like a human being that day when he died. They beat up on him so he didn't even look like a human being. They took their fist and their hands and the thorns. I filmed the series A Thousand Year Reign with Christ in 2008. There's nothing like it. There's no books that I've found. I've yet to hear anybody preach from Ezekiel 40 through chapter 48 in all my years of preaching. Never. But I filmed the series because I'd done it a lot of times in different churches. People wanted tapes. That letter came from that prison in the state of Nebraska. Took me 2 months to get an ad put in a Sword magazine advertising my DVD series on the Thousand Year Reign of Christ. Didn't nobody up there know me. Little old insignificant preacher, didn't nobody up there know me. Took me 2 months. Finally they gave me permission to put an ad in the paper. called my post office, and there was a letter fell out from the prison in the state of Nebraska. And I said, Lord, I don't think I got any 10 people that live in Nebraska that's in jail. I wonder why in the world I'd get a letter from them. I had to look on the map to find where Nebraska was. All the other mail I threw down, ripped that and opened, stood there, and a little old yellow piece of paper fell out and said, Dear Brother Virgil, I'm a prisoner here in this prison in Nebraska. We have video time in our prison. Would you be so kind to send me a DVD series? Because all we got here is a bunch of junk. I don't know what he meant by that. It went in the mail the next day. I'm going to tell you something, Brother Queen. I was up on the mountains. I was praising God. I am preaching on a 1,000-year reign to 1,400 men in prison. I said, Woo-wee, I was getting rings ready to fly away. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, They don't even know about Christ died in prison, let alone the 1,000-year reign. I said, I'd never film another series. It cost me an arm and leg buying all the equipment, sleepless nights. But I'd done a series a number of times on, and when they were come to the place, following Jesus from the upper room to the prayer room, from the prayer room to the halls of gloom, from the halls of gloom to Calvary's doom, from Calvary's doom to the garden tomb, and wait within 3 days till he's raised, go back to the upper room, stay there a little while, and go out to the mountain, where he departs to the throne room. After telling the disciples to tarry in the upper room, that the Comforter would be there soon. And I filmed that series and mailed it to that prisoner in the state of Nebraska. I want him to know. And I wrote him and said, Brother, would you please tell me how you got to be saved? And he wrote back a 2-page letter, printed it out, and said, Me and my girlfriend had an argument. She hit me, and I turned around and got a butcher knife and said, I stabbed her right in the heart. She looked at me and dropped dead at my feet. She died, and I'm in prison for 35 years for killing. And when I came to jail, he said, I was told because I was a murderer, I never could be saved. But I got a copy of the Bible and found out that the Bible said, God forgave men of all that they did it. And he said, I bowed and got saved. You know how? By the blood. And here are the demons around him, the degrading of his body. Number one, deterioration body, his strength is gone. He said, My strength is dried up like potsherd, like a piece of dried clay. Deterioration of his body, his strength is gone. Secondly, he said, The stirring of my own bones, looking back at me. You know what had happened? He had had no liquid to drink for 24 hours. Perhaps he hadn't. The only thing Jesus ever asked for, I thirst. He wanted a little sip of water. And he gave him a bunch of vinegar mingled with gall. He refused it. I thirst, yet he made the rivers. I thirst, yet he made the streams. But all that moisture has gone out of his body now. What it's done is drawed his skin so tight around that there's nothing left but his bones, and they're looking back at him. You know what they're saying to him? The fingers are saying to him, Could I have a little moisture? just a little moisture in my body, in my bones. Thirdly, the grain reminded of the shame of him dying naked. The only piece of garment he had, they took from him, throwed it down on the ground, said, let's don't rend it. Let's cast lots. He's on the cross dying, or down to the bottom of it, throwing dice to see which one of those men will get to carry home that piece of garment. Of all the things, out there stood his mother. He's up here hanging without clothes. That's good, his little mother. The first Adam sinned and made us all naked. But the last Adam became naked that we, which were naked, might be clothed by the righteousness of God. Oh, make a Presbyterian shout. Amen. What a Savior we have in Jesus Christ. Fourthly, we notice he is brought down to the very sting of death. Verse 15. You know what the sting of death is? Is when you're brought down to D-U-S-T, dust. Dust. Well, I'm quitting. I want to get just as close to that cross as I can. I want to grab a hold of it. They tell me these three words is really one word in the Greek. I know the word came from that cross and ran down to the bottom. It ran down into the streams. The stream carried it down into the rivers, and the rivers carried it out into the ocean. Do you know out in the middle of the ocean, nobody knows where it is except God, but out in the middle of the ocean, the waves are coming in this way, and over yonder the waves are coming in that way. Somewhere or another out there in the middle of the ocean, the waves meet together. The trees picked up that word. And the birds picked up that word. And the trees began to wave. And the birds began to fly. And the ocean come together out yonder and said that one word. I may not pronounce it correctly, the Greek word, telestai. You know what it said? It meant, it is finished. And I hold on that cross and I say, thank God, thank God. It's finished, it's finished. He said, I finished the work thou gavest me to do. And he finished it, and we are saved today. Amen. Because of the finished work of our Savior.